Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hosted on dimlywit.com.
We are your new go-to girls for everything bad. Oh.
So, hey everybody. Remember we talked like a couple weeks ago about me possibly having to have an amnio?
Yeah.
I fucking did it.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
So a couple weeks ago, the doctor saw something on the baby's heart. They call it like a spot or something. And babies that have that spot have a higher risk of Down syndrome.
Okay.
So I talked to you about this. I was like, mm-hmm. What do I do? I had to talk with Denny. I was like, you know what? Den was like, okay, so what? The baby has Down syndrome. Like, we're not going to terminate the pregnancy.
Well, obviously, yeah.
So what's the point of the amnio? Like, just to know? I just, mm-hmm. you know, all my other tests were good. And we were just like, what's the point? So I'm going to bring you back to the future real quick, okay? So the NIPT, remember that test?
Yeah.
That was good. The following test, which is the back of the neck test on the baby.
Okay.
That test was good. Then there's two more tests. It's almost like we're over testing, but okay. There's called sequential one and sequential two. Sequential one comes back. Great. Everything's normal. So I'm like, oh, we're smooth sailing here. The little spot on the heart. The doctor's like, when everything else comes back normal, the little spot on the heart means nothing.
Okay.
My sequential two comes back. Doctor calls me. The voice I know all too well with sad voice.
No.
And I'm like, oh God. So he said the test came back abnormal. That doesn't mean something's wrong with the baby. Okay. It just means there's a higher risk of something being wrong with the baby.
Okay.
So now with the spot in the heart and this other thing, he thinks we have pause to go forward with an amnio.
Okay.
Because.
And usually they don't ask you to do something like that unless it's like a deal. Something
yeah. They call them like markers. You have to have like two or three markers really for them to feel like the need.
Okay.
So I was a hot mess to say the least, because he kept saying to me, I don't think this baby has Down syndrome. He goes, I've seen this baby on the ultrasound. I've looked at the heart, the lungs, and everything. And I don't think the baby has Down syndrome, but I am concerned that the baby has another abnormality that the other test didn't pick up. So I do want to go ahead with the amnio. And I'm just like, now, I haven't told you guys about this yet, but a couple pregnancies ago, I did what they call a CVS. It's similar to an amnio. It was fucking terrible, like traumatizing. So I did not want to. I really wanted not to do the amnio, but I'm going to go ahead and, you know, listen to my doctor. And then my nurse actually told me that the amnio is not as bad as the CVS. Because
okay, so
the
CVS, you had already done that. And
the
CVS like,
goes
that.
Through the actually goes through the placenta.
Okay.
The amniocentesis just takes the like liquid.
Okay.
So it truly wasn't as bad. But I'm just like, it's like re-traumatizing to do all this shit over and over. Like,
yeah,
I just want
course.
Like a normal pregnancy. like, can we just make this normal? So I was like, I made myself so we had the amniocentesis for last Friday, right? Thursday, I have work in the afternoon, and that night I am like, I am in my head saying I'm having a miscarriage. I am having lower back pain. I have the chills. I have made myself think that something is wrong with this baby, that I'm miscarrying it. Like I'm such a mental fuck that I literally called my work and I'm like, I have to go to the doctor. And the day before the amnio, I'm at the doctor doing a full ultrasound because I think I'm miscarrying. Spoiler alert, I was not.
I mean, start with that, bro. I haven't breathed in like 30 seconds. Start with that. I don't know how you're doing this.
It's
how you're even re-talking about it.
I don't, because it's like, it's like, I was certain, like I was certain. I mean, I walked into the office, the nurse showed Denny, she like recreated. She goes, your wife walked in like this. I went to give her a hug. Like, I was a mess. I was a mess.
Oh my God.
I was certain, but I'm just so sick over this whole thing that I'm just assuming now everything's going wrong. So we do the amnio. So first of all, it's so fucking awkward because so it's my doctor and then he has like another doctor there to help.
Okay. Like an assistant.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, Dennis comes with me and we're in a small little space. Where do you think they put Dennis? At the foot of the bed.
That's enough.
Now, my feet aren't even in stirrups. So I'm laying flat. Like they have like the board, you know, that comes out. And the doctor pulls my pants to my ankles. I'm like, can this be any more? I have three men in the room and I am compromised. Okay. I just felt like the biggest animal of all time. I think amnio, I think stomach. Why are my pants around my knees? I was not prepared for that. And Dennis has, it's like they put him front row at, you know, the new Spider-Man like the movie.
Most traumatizing concert ever.
Ever. I'm just like, at that point in your life, you're like, can this get worse? No, the answer is no. So what they do is, if you've never had one or you might have to have one, I did find it interesting because I'm Googling, what is the procedure like? You know, I did want to learn about it. So they take this needle. It's the size of Joey from DJ's arms. You know, shit is, it's a big needle. And it's so nuts because first they do an ultrasound because they want to see where the baby is because they want to be as far away from the baby as possible, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, of course.
So they take this needle and now the doctor, Dennis was watching. I had my eyes closed the whole time. He was pushing really hard on my stomach. And we think Dennis thinks he was trying to keep the baby on like one side to not like not moving over from where the needle
That's
was going
so
in.
Scary.
It's so scary. And I remember from my CVS, I did not look this time. I kept my eyes closed the whole time. But on the CVS, I remember on the ultrasound seeing the needle. You could see it on the screen. Like, and you could see the baby. And you're like, oh my fucking God. Like your heart stops. I was like, I'm looking up at the fucking sky. He's got this thing on his ceiling. It's like
a happy
what you
something.
Think heaven looks like. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at this and I'm like, I hate it here. And just like this fake heaven up above. Like, just take me there. Just take me out of this misery. So the needle's going in and he's like, little pinch. I'm like, little pinch.
So
I know what a little
this?
Pinch is.
Yeah,
that
sir.
Is a little pinch.
I don't think so.
So he's like, okay, you're going to have like some cramping. Cramping is putting it mildly. Listen, I had people tell me, oh, there's no pain. You really don't feel anything. I don't know how that's physically possible because you cramp up. Like you cramp up and the cramping is not a pleasant feeling.
It's like contraction cramping?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's the cramping that you like grab, like.
Yeah,
you
like
grab,
the pain.
Yes.
Hoping that it'll
and
stop.
He's and the doctor's not screaming, but he's yelling at me, don't move, don't move. Because your body, when it feels pain, what's like your natural response
is to
like
find
run
a
away.
Spot that you're okay.
Yeah, like I'm moving around because I'm fucking uncomfortable. And he's like, don't move. So now I'm like freaking out. The room's dead silent. The two of them are having like their own, like, you know, and the shit is so crazy. He filled up a fucking syringe the size of
like that coffee cup.
Like a not a normal syringe. What I don't know how to describe it. And it's full of amniotic fluid. And he showed me. And I was like, well, that's pretty fucking crazy. But yeah, I mean, listen, was it the worst thing? I think a lot of the amnio is my past trauma sleeping through. If you have to have one, it's not the worst thing in the world. So now with an amniocentesis, there's a risk of miscarriage, which is a reason a lot of women don't want to do it. Right.
That's why I didn't ever do it.
Right. Like,
there
why
no
risk?
For-
So they said it's like 1 in 1,000. Also matters how skilled your doctor is. That actually factors in and how often they do them. Ugh, Tracy, talk about bad juju. He had 3 amnios booked that day. He was just doing amnios. The one before me started at 1 o'clock. My appointment was supposed to be at 2:00. It's 3:30. I'm not in there yet. She still got the person before me. And the nurse is like, yeah, something went wrong. And they're like, and I'm just like, oh, this is not, I don't want to go in after something's gone wrong. Like, I don't want to be the next person. Like, that feels like bad energy, right? So I'm like, oh, this is, I'm fucked. Like, I just thought it was just going to be bad. And the poor girl in front of me left, like, crying. Like, they saw something on the baby while they were doing it. Like, just, and, like, the nurse is like, listen, don't get upset. Like, this is why we're here, right? We're here because some of these people have something wrong. So anyway, my nurse gave me the best, I thought this was a great thing that I did because I think I went forward because of the nurse's answer.
Okay.
And I asked the nurse, I said, in your time being a nurse, and she's an older woman, not that old, but she's an older woman. And I said, in your time being a nurse, how many miscarriages have you seen from amnios? And she said, with the doctor I've been with, zero.
Okay.
And she told me the doctor she was with before, zero. And wow, that made me feel.
Yeah, of course.
A hell of a lot better.
Of course.
Yeah. So I was like, I feel like that gave me the push I needed to move forward.
Okay.
So after the amnio, you're supposed to take it really easy. They say relax. I think everything is just, if you lift something you're not supposed to, like, I think a lot of the risk of miscarriage comes from what you do afterwards, too. Ben was actually supposed to go to work that night, and I, like, thank God he took off, just because it's just a lot. And then, like, they say the if you're going to miscarry, it's the first 3 days after, like, it will happen. So, you know, I'm in my head about that. And then the test results. So this is the worst part, because you have to wait. This is the worst part.
Yeah.
So he said, you're going to get the first result the day after.
Okay.
He said, you're going to know if your baby has Down syndrome or not. He goes, but honestly, I don't think the baby has Down syndrome. The second test is going to take like 10 to 14 days, something like that.
Oh my. So you still don't know the result?
So he called me. The baby does not have Down syndrome. Okay. And I knew instantly from his happy voice.
Oh my God. This man needs to start using poker voices because like... I'm getting anxiety. So the way you pick up the phone is the way that you know. Results.
Tracy, I've had so many bad phone calls. I don't know if he really puts it on or if, like, I've just know it so well, the like bad news voice so well. And it just like, it's instant. I could just hear it. Like when it's bad, I could just hear it. And he doesn't have to say anything. And I like black out right then.
Yeah.
But he was like, Jessica. And I was like,
oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Like he made it very clear. It was good.
Good call.
He said the baby is good. So, listen, I still have, I don't know, another 7 days or something. But the good news is it's another negative test, right? So when, out of all these testing, it decreases. It's like your chances, like everything with every test that's negative, they go down. The one that's positive goes up, but then the negative drops again.
Okay.
So it's good. It's very good news. And, God, I don't know. I feel like it would be a very cruel turn of events. Like, how are you going to do this to me twice? It just, like, doesn't happen, like, that often, like that.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to stay positive and be normal.
Yeah. I mean, you can't overthink something before you know, because that will drive you crazy.
And I actually think the best advice, because I called Dr. Walter crying, because she used to be an OB before she started making us beautiful. And she just said, like, you just have to continue your pregnancy, like, carry on. Like, right. You just can't, you can't let it, like, change everything. And, like, you guys all know about my pregnancy, but I literally have not posted on social media because I don't know, there's something when you have, like, pregnancy loss, you think
it's whatever it, like, jinxes time it. Works for you is when you should post it. There should be no forcing of posting. Or announcing, it's whenever it works for you. So it doesn't matter if they know. If it really hasn't even gotten out, which is wild to me. So
Alan actually gave me, I hate to say it, but he said something really great, because I was thinking of pulling the episode last week. Mm-hmm. And he, just because I started getting, it's like the second you tell somebody something bad goes wrong.
Yeah.
Like, and again, to all my ladies that have had this happen, it's not real.
Yeah.
Me telling Tracy does not make my pregnancy go wrong.
No.
It's not a real thing. I don't know why.
It's out of your hands.
Correct. I don't know why we are like this.
It's because people have taught us that superstition and jinxing things are like manifestation and all this negative manifestation and whatever else causes things to happen. And it doesn't. Whatever
it doesn't.
Your journey is what it is. And it's like what you use to get through to the end. that is what why people say these things. It's not truly going to make, well, if I say that this is going to happen, it's actually going to.
And it's a fucked up thing to think that, like, who we tell, like, affects our pregnancy.
Yeah, of course.
It makes no sense. But I want to read to you what Alan wrote. Because I said, like, I don't know what to do. What do you think I should do? And he said, like, if you want to pull this episode, we pull it. Like,
right,
it wasn't even,
course,
like, a question.
Whatever you want to do.
And we were kind of going back and forth. And this is what finally got me. He said, ultimately, it's up to you. But I think we should release the episode as planned. I think it's good for people to hear and send you support, good positive thoughts. I thought that was really sweet.
Yeah, it is, because
I was like, you know what? Right,
you have
that.
Literally shared with these people your all of your pregnancies, the good, the bad, all of it. And all people can do is hope and pray for good things and love you along the way. There's nothing that.
Yeah. That's what I was like, you know what? He's right. Like, why
are you gonna let suffer a lot? Like, could happen, take out on your happiness of just being thankful for what you have in the moment.
Yeah. So I thought that was, I was like, right then, I was like, done. I was like, all right, we let it air.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's not about airing or not. It's about you feeling comfortable with just people knowing what you're going. You can't suffer in silence. The more people who don't know, I feel like you're holding this weight of the world on your shoulders.
I do. It's what I do. It's what we do.
Yeah. I mean, women in general, I get it. But like people who are pregnant.
Me and you do this.
Oh, I mean, we always do
this. You did
this
with your divorce.
Yeah.
You.
I hold a lot of things quiet because I suppress things.
Yes. So do I.
And
we're the same person. I know it's like Alan's going to.
Yeah. I know.
Because like,
you guys are Scorpio.
It is a trait
because I feel like I never want to burden people with my tragedies. So I don't talk about it. But the more you suppress it, it's just built up toxicity to yourself. So, but there's women that are going to be so thankful that you shared your story because regardless of the outcome, which we can only hope for positive things, regardless of it, you're going to have more people. Imagine you did this in silence. And then no one knows why you're sad or scared or whatever. It's
I have
even
done it
worse.
Before that way. And it sucks. And it sucks. But like, I think that's the thing. Like when there's something bad you're going through, like there's no good way to do it.
And that's why I hate being like all these people that are like, well, then you should go to therapy. It's not about therapy.
Yeah.
Therapy comes in many different forms. Therapy is taking a drive in your car. Therapy for moms is sitting in your car before you go inside. When you know everybody else is inside, you having that 5 minutes to yourself. Therapy is sitting in the shower and letting hot water run over you. It doesn't matter. It's not sitting down and talking to a licensed professional. Therapy could be you talking to people that you know you're going to help that have told us day and night that our podcast helps them. Like,
yes,
that's our version of therapy. So I hate when people categorize therapy as only one way to do it.
Yeah, like, correct. Tracy, you were so fucking spot on.
I don't understand why people are like, oh, you need therapy. Maybe I get therapy. Therapy is when my kids are at my ex's house and I know I have no control over their safety or well-being. I go out with my friends because that's my therapy.
It's
is
therapeutic
releasing.
For you. Yes.
It's therapeutic. Of course. So people are like, well, you shouldn't be out partying. I think that's my way of therapy. Your way of therapy could be telling me, I don't tell anybody, you telling the listeners that you're pregnant, regardless what happens down the road. That's a therapy. It's like, I mastered the next step of fear by talking to people who I don't know.
Yes.
So I feel like this is a positive thing for everybody because everybody learns from each other and builds and grows strength off of each other.
You know, I usually think what you say is fucking crazy, but that was so spot on. It was so good, Tracy. It's like the greatest thing you ever said.
Thank you.
It is so true.
Like, I just hate when people are like, oh, you have so much going on, like maybe you should talk to somebody and be in therapy. Like, I talk to people all the time. It doesn't mean I need to rehash my life and explain to somebody who knows nothing fucking about me. It means that I need to call my friend or my mom or talk to my kids or whoever it is.
And listen, the other way works for some people, too.
It's great if it does. It doesn't work for everybody.
It doesn't work for everybody.
No. I'm not an open book person.
Yeah.
I am. I tell a lot of people a lot of shit. I post a lot of shit. But talking to somebody I don't know and having them give me advice of what to do and then me using that as like my guidance of life is not happening. I don't care what degrees you were given. Life experience over medical degrees, I think. Anyway. Also, we love all you therapists. Thank you for helping
like
people.
Doctors. And Tracy's like, I'm not sitting across from schmuck.
I'm not going to sit on. Yeah, because you had a lot of money and you went to 30 years of med school. Okay, I get it. You're smarter than me. But guess what? You don't know shit about me. So it just seems like a lot of work.
It's a lot of
work.
But
I'm glad that this is a lot of times all of our therapies. I would have never talked about my divorce had it not been the show.
Oh, my God.
I would have never said anything
about
it. And,
like, you know how hard those episodes are to do. Like, you know the, like, dread building up to just talking about it. It's 100% therapy for us. Holy shit. Like, you just said, like, you're not going to sit across from some stranger. We are literally doing that with our audience. Like, we know some of you. We don't know most of you. And this is what we do. And at the end of the day, I do believe it helps me. I mean, God, my first miscarriage, I became like the guru. Like when people had loss after that, like still to this day will message me.
Yeah,
and
I
enjoy talking to them about it because.
You're not alone.
I'm not alone. They're not alone. It's like this weird sisterhood that is like this group you don't want to be a part of, but you are. And like. It's like someone that finally understands what you're going through. I literally had. I'm not kidding. A couple days ago, a listener had just lost their baby. I sent it to you in the group chat.
Yeah.
And, you know, she re-listened to the miscarriage episode.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Just had to hear it just to, like, know that what her feelings and...
Again, because that's her form of therapy is listening to somebody else go through it also and know she's not by herself that this happens.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
I'm making keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros. Two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
On Oops the Podcast, join me, comedian Giulio Gallerati, as I examine everyday life, the mistakes, the bad decisions, the goals, the jokes, the social engagements, and all things in between. I'm joined every week by producer and personal confidant Ryan Lynch, various other comedians for witty, candid, and intoxicating conversation. Our listeners love Oops for its sophisticated banter, aka your mom could listen, and many feel like they're in the room with us chopping it up with old pals. You can find every episode of the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube.
We've all seen the headlines in the news of how someone lost their life in an act of cold-blooded murder. And while it's sad and grabs your attention, most people go on with their day without giving it another thought. But have you ever stopped to think about the life of the person at the center of the news story? They were more than just a headline or a statistic. They were someone's loved one or friend. I'm Mike Morford, and my podcast, The Murder of My Family, dives into some of those stories to help listeners get to know the person who was lost and how their death affected those closest to them. Listen to The Murder of My Family everywhere you listen to podcasts. There are well over 100 episodes to binge on now.
So I wanted to read you guys, one of my friends who's had it rough too, sent me this. I thought this was nice to share with you guys for anyone that knows somebody that's going through this or has gone through it yourself. Throughout all my pregnancies, this is lucky number 5, but my friend has sends me this every couple of days, couple of weeks, just to remind me. And it does help me. And if you Google commandments of pregnancy after loss, you can share it with someone you know or love or read them for yourself. But here they are. Here are the commandments. Today I am pregnant and I love my baby. I'm not going to be able to read this without crying.
Do you want me
this?
To?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Sure.
I can't read this.
Okay. Today I am pregnant and I love my baby. I am pregnant with a healthy growing baby until I am told otherwise. My past is not my future.
The past is not the future. I think anybody, one loss, you just assume it's going to happen again. And it's just not true. It's just not true. Cecily exists, right? Like, I have a daughter. I have a daughter.
My past is not my future. My previous losses do not mean I will not have, I will have future losses. So just like things that happened in your past is not, doesn't, it's not always on repeat. Lightning doesn't strike twice, I guess, sometimes. Just because somebody else is having a loss doesn't mean I will. Miscarriage and loss are not contagious, but fear can be.
And that's a big one too. Like my friend does this, like I try to not tell her things because I don't want to like re-traumatize her. And she's like, I want to be there for you. I need to remember that just like whatever you're going through, it's unrelated to me. Like we are not the same. Like, and it really, it's such good advice. Even if you see it happening around you, even if you hear scary stories, it's not your body. It's not you.
Hope does not make bad things happen. I cannot jinx my pregnancy by getting my hopes up or by telling somebody about it.
Yeah, it's a big one. It's a big one. We want to like not feel happiness because we're going to somehow ruin it for ourselves. I mean, it's actually insanity when you think about it. It's insane. You can't, your joy cannot make you lose a pregnancy.
No. There is nothing I can change with worry. Worrying about what's not in my hands does not prevent it from happening. And if it does happen, God forbid, I know I can survive it.
It's true. We're all still here.
It's honestly, my friends, I want to say last year got married and they used IVF. Because they're two females. And so they got pregnant and they were so excited. They announced, they named the baby, all of it, and they just lost it. And I am just heartbroken for them because the journey you go through on like insemination alone,
Jesus Christ,
is horrible. And like knowing that that's your only option. Yeah. It's not like the male and female where it could maybe happen, you know, like, oh, I got IVF and then I got pregnant naturally. Like that's not going to happen for them. So this is their only journey. And like, I was heartbroken for them because I watched them be so excited.
You know what kills me about IVF too?
And it's different for everyone. At the same time, it's the same for everybody.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, the loss of a child, nobody will understand. So unless you went through that, I will never understand it. I try to love and sympathize with you as much as I can. I never know the right thing to say because I've never gone through it.
Your mind almost won't let you. Like, I feel like things that are really traumatic for me to think about, like somebody loses their mother, right? At a young age.
Oh, yeah. I try so hard to understand what that's like.
I can't understand it because my mind won't let me. I don't want to think about horrible things.
That. I can't imagine what that like, day would feel like.
I feel like our brains protect us in that way. Do you know what I'm saying? I feel bad and I feel horrible, but I almost don't want to relate. Like
I would never want to relate to half those things.
You know what I mean? Like you hear these stories and like, I feel like that's a lot of it with miscarriage. Like the thought of losing your own kid is just so fucking horrible. Like how could you actually put yourself there? You don't want to. Like it's a terrible thing for your brain to even... You know what I'm saying?
It's the mental protection that you go through. Of it's like when you know you're going, like you see a car coming right at you, your natural instinct is to tighten up.
Yeah.
And that's why I hate to say this, but drunk drivers usually survive a car accident.
Ain't that some shit?
Because their body is unaware it's happening, so it can't protect them. But the person who sees it coming
tenses up
and it ends up working against them because the body is trying to protect them so it doesn't naturally flow with the car and therefore something always breaks or happens or whatever. That's always how it happens your body knows it's happening, it cannot physically allow it to protect you.
It's always the drunk driving assholes morons that survive
and
take out a family
problem
of five. Like, you're just like, what the fuck?
Because they don't know it's coming. So that is, I think it's just trauma. Your body knows how to fight off trauma for you. It's like after, like as a hairdresser, I've been cut a million times and burned by irons and whatever. I no longer feel those. I don't feel them. When I cut my finger, I'm like, oh, I'm bleeding, gushing blood. I don't even feel it because the scissor cuts from cutting hair. You don't feel it anymore. Your body builds up a defense.
Yes.
So I feel like women who have multiple miscarriages that go through this are like, I'm so numb, I don't even Mm-hmm. I'm like, so I can't even feel, I can't even imagine how I'm still going through this. Like, it's horrible, but your body truly does protect you.
Yeah.
And it does everything it can. So here, I mean, my body's O negative. Like, I don't take certain medications. It would have killed off my baby while I was pregnant. Whoa. And that's my body not knowing any better. Like, we have to get Rogam shots. We have to get, like, you know, that's, it's the wildest thing how your body works.
So, all right, there's two things. So one thing I want to talk about with IVF, which I think is not talked about enough, is that it, you think you're doing this, right? And it's like the end all be all. Like, if you get pregnant from IVF, like, that's it. Like, I feel like doctors don't communicate enough that there's actually a higher risk for miscarriage when you do IVF. Mm-hmm. So if that baby implants, it's amazing. But it, I feel like you're being told, like, okay, hey, it's either going to implant or it's not. If it implants, you're going to have this baby. No.
No.
You can still miscarry, I mean, from IVF.
There's a chance for everything.
Yeah. And I feel like doctors don't necessarily educate women on that part, that, like, when you transfer a baby via IVF, you have a higher actually rate of loss.
Right.
Listen, IVF is a fucking godsend. I have friends that would not have multiple living children to this day if not for it. But God, yeah, no, it is. That's a whole other episode in itself, which I'd like to talk about. But it's, I feel terrible for your friends. I just hope that they don't.
I don't want them give up. Right.
Yeah, because.
And they won't. They're good. Such strong women that they.
Yeah.
I mean, they literally have each other's back. Like, I've never seen. And that's why I'm always like, damn, maybe I'm doing the wrong thing. I should be a lesbian, because I've seen lesbian relationships and those are the strongest fucking relationships. Yeah. And I'm like, you know why? Because there's no fucking man stressing them out. That's why.
Amen.
But that's
that.
Why I'm like so proud of them for like getting through this. And I know they're going to try again. It's just like, you know, the fear, because now they're going to go through this fear again. Yeah. And I don't want them not to enjoy or announce or something because of what has past happened. So I'm just like hoping that when, I'm not going to say if, because when they do get pregnant again, I hope that they enjoy it just as excited as they were the first time. That's my only fear for them, is that I don't want them to not enjoy it.
It's such a, I give the same speech to people. I'm like, don't let what's happened in the past.
Right.
Remember the commandments of pregnancy laws. Don't let it
change
your future pregnancy. It's almost like, it's so hard to listen to my own thoughts and instructions. Like, I know that this, again, is not related to my miscarriage. It is completely different.
Mm-hmm.
But those thoughts creep in and you're like, and it really is bullshit that people who have loss are, you're changed. There's just no way to say you're not changed. You're changed, and you can never, you will never enjoy a pregnancy. Like, I see in my baby groups, like, here I am having an amnio and everyone else is looking at shoes and this and that. And you're just like, God, I just want to be one of those normal fucking people so bad that don't even, it's not on their radar. Like how I was blissfully unaware with my first.
Totally same.
It wasn't a thought. I want to go back to that place where, like, I'm not wiping and looking for blood every time I piss. Every fucking time. I am going to be 20 weeks pregnant. Every time I go to pee, I look at my toilet paper to make sure there's no blood. That's fucking demented.
No, it's not. It's traumatized. You're traumatized from what has happened.
I just want to be normal. I want it so badly, but I can't. I just can't. And I want to follow the commandments, and I do try. I really, really, really do try.
I just want you to remember to think, while you're doing these things, it's only because you love this baby so much and you're trying to protect it as a mother, and that all you need to do is look to the future and look back. And when you are thinking something's wrong, look at Cecily and be like, but she's here. So the next one could
she's
be here.
Like,
and like the, and then I'm going to look back in 5 years and be like, wow, remember when I checked the toilet paper every time? Like, and then when you're here. Yeah. So you cannot look at that. You always have to look for the future, because if we want to believe in any type of manifestation, it's the positive one.
Yes.
It's not the negative. Oh, if I say this, the wrong thing, this is going to happen. If we're going to do anything, it's, I will have two healthy babies.
Yes.
By next year, we will be taking Christmas pictures. We will be doing this stuff. My daughter will be having, be an older sister. Like, those are the things that you will now be saying to yourself from here on out. And those are the only type of vibes and positivity that we're going to be accepting. Anything else you need to keep to yourself, that's fine. And you can still do the toilet paper thing. But don't let it, like, stop you from going about your day and doing things.
Yeah.
Because that's what we're going to do from now on. We're just constantly going to think, this is next year. Well, my biggest problem next year is going to be that I'm fucking just so tired because I'm up every 2 fucking hours. That's how we're going to think.
You know, fucked up I am. The toilets at work, they like flush automatically after you go, you know?
that you're like turning around really quick.
I have like 3 seconds from the time I stand up to look in that toilet to make sure there's nothing in there. And sometimes I'm like, not my eyes play tricks on me. And I'm like, this is sick. What am I doing? If somebody was in there with me, they'd be like, what the fuck? Why are you rushing? Why are you jumping off the toilet and turning around?
Yeah.
And looking at into the toilet bowl like a sociopath. Like, what do you expect to see in there? Like, it really is fucked up, the things that happen to us. But one thing I want to tell you, so okay, so 5 pregnancies, right? 1 living baby. So lots of doctors, lots of tests, lots of different things. My whole thing was, with every pregnancy, I don't want to do the same thing over and over again, right? So that's why I was so test driven and so doctor driven, because I not only wanted answers, which I, to be honest, never got, I wanted to make sure that when I did it again, that I didn't have the same result. So tell me what to do. Let me take a fucking, what vitamin can I take? Let me do this. Anyway, so seeing multiple doctors, my last doctor was a new guy. He said, I want to send you to this cancer center. So right away, I'm like,
why?
You got cancer? No, he's like, no, you have not cancer. But he sent me to this doctor. He's a blood doctor. What do you call those? Where's fucking Alan?
Come on.
I need Alan for
Why
one question.
Why would you look at me like I know the answer to that?
He's a bloodtopian. Blood okay, yeah.
Bloodtopian. Love that for us.
Can you Google it while I'm
a
talking?
A bloodologist.
Please. He specializes in blood. So literally, they send me to this cancer center. It's literally a building for people with cancer. Every doctor, every person there has cancer.
Hematologist.
Thank you. So I go to see the hematologist. And again, he is a cancer doctor. And I'm walking through this guy's hallways, and he's got fucking babies all over the wall. And I'm like, what is this? And I'm like, why am I here? I'm so confused. So anyway, doctor tells me this story. This is the cancer doctor. He says, I had a daughter-in-law. She had a miscarriage. I was not okay with it, and I wanted to find out why. Tested her blood. And he found out she had a clotting disorder. So he believes clotting disorder leads to miscarriage.
I mean, it makes sense why it would.
So he prescribes her this drug. She goes on to never have a miscarriage again. She has 5 healthy pregnancies.
Wow.
The nurse tells me there's no funding in this. Not a lot of doctors are doing this. It can be, I guess, technically experimental, but he believes in this, and it's his passion project, and that's why the hallways are lined with
babies.
Thousands of his babies, even though he saves people from cancer, because he loves this. So he prescribes me this drug. I'm not telling you to go take this drug. You know we are not doctors. We are dumb whores.
No. Yes.
But if you want to ask your doctor about this drug, why not? It's called Lovenox. It's an injection. I take it daily. I took it the day I got my positive pregnancy test. I started taking this injection. I take it once a day, right in my abdomen. And even though I did all the blood work, you've never seen this much blood work. This man drained me of my blood like a fucking vampire. I do not have the clotting disorder. I do not have the clotting disorder. But he said, because of my history, he wanted me to take this drug anyway. And this man looked me dead in the eyes and he told me, you will never have a miscarriage again. Now, do I think that's a little dramatic? Yes.
Bold.
It's bold. It's bold. But he's so confident in what he does and believes in this drug so much. And
I'm praying that that's the case.
Here we are, you know, almost halfway there. And if there's something wrong with this baby, it doesn't seem like I'm going to miscarry. So this drug, yeah, Lovenox once a day. And you know what? I was excited to take it again because it was something different to do.
Right. Well, it's another trial.
It's another trial. Yeah. So. I see him at my 8-week. He's like, I want that picture on my wall. I'm like, I know you do. But yeah, so I was, you know what, sometimes too, like if my only other advice, if you've been going through this, like one thing for me was needing, I guess, having some hope and like change. And when I go to a new doctor or we do a new test, it feels like one step forward to like possibly correcting what's going on or what's wrong. Right. So I was very welcoming to meet this doctor and to try this drug. And so far, it has worked great. It has no side effects. The drug doesn't enter the placenta or anything. So it doesn't cross over to the baby. We're good. So just something to maybe ask your doctor about.
I love that.
And yeah, so listen, I'm expecting results in the next couple of days. And all I can do is just pretend like everything's okay. I could put, you know, until we're there. So if you're watching on Patreon, we just lost Tracy.
Bye.
Don't just look at me. I don't want everyone looking at me.
Everyone look at Jessica.
Turn it off.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah, I'm physically uncomfortable now. Do you not like that? Sometimes Dennis looks at me. I'm like, stop fucking looking
at
me.
What are you staring at?
Well,
I'm proud of you. Next week, we'll get the update. And hopefully, we will have very good news.
Yes.
And I love this drug idea for whoever wants. I mean, at this point, when you're miscarrying over and over, there's no point but up.
Yeah.
There's no way but up. So you might as well try something that could help, could save lives, and have the stress-free pregnancy that you're looking for.
And my whole thing is like, why are you torturing yourself? Why are you not? Why are you doing the same thing over and over again?
Correct.
If the doctor says to try this, you know, vitamin, CoQ10, that was one of the things, stronger eggs, CoQ10, fuck, I'll take all the CoQ10, give it to me. What else was I taking? Vitamin D. I mean, I'll take whatever cocktail you want to try. I'm willing to try anything to have a healthy baby, a healthy pregnancy. So yeah, I wanted to share an update with you guys and tell you about the amnio. I wanted Dennis to call in, but we're having technical difficulties. So I wanted you to hear what he saw
from
his point of view. But you know what? Maybe it's for the best. I don't know what he was looking at.
I wouldn't traumatize anybody with what he saw, please.
But I love you guys. You guys have been so awesome for all the support per usual. And I love you, Tracy.
Love you.
And we'll keep you guys updated.
Yep. See you next Tuesday.
Don't forget, guys, new episodes air every Tuesday. So see you next Tuesday.
Even though we are not your best examples,
we're the best you've got.
So cheers, bitches.
Cheers.
Rate, download, and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast.
Hosted on dimlywit.com.